Merry Christmas. Thank you. This is a great crowd for Christmas morning. A lot of churches don't have service on Christmas morning because they expect low numbers, but thank you for focusing on the reason for this season and for joining us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, we'd like to say welcome to Cornerstone Church. Thank you for being here. If you would, please fill out the Connect card located in the seat in front of you, and at the end of service, you can return it to the hot chocolate table in the back. We'll just call it the hot chocolate table today. And we'll have a small gift for you as our way of saying thank you for being our guest today. Not a super long sermon. What I felt led to do is kind of just cover the series that we have been in, and the Christmas series is that the King has come. And that's what we're celebrating here at Christmas, is that the King has indeed came. But before I dive into that, I want to ask you to please plan on being here next week. I always deliver a word to our church that I believe will define the next year. And it's a word that I believe that God has given me. And this word God gave me while I was walking in the park up here in Seagrove a few weeks ago. And so I do plan on delivering that word next week for 2023. So please plan on being here. I want us to start today by going back to the time of Jesus' birth and looking at some of the circumstances that may have been facing God's people at that time. I don't think we focus on this enough because at that time of Jesus' birth, God's people had experienced about 400 years of darkness, death, and silence. And this point doesn't have the darkness and death on there because actually I wrote a sermon, and then last night at Christmas dinner at my in-laws, God was changing my sermon. So I was rewriting my sermon last night and then frantically putting it in the computer this morning and forgot to change this point, but I want you to think about those three words, darkness, death, and silence. The last verse in the Old Testament is Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and it says this, "See, this is God speaking. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." The book of Malachi is written by a prophet. And a prophet was someone who would speak on God's behalf to God's people, which was the people of Israel. And so Malachi, we don't know who Malachi actually is. That actual name means God's messenger. So whoever this is delivering a message on God's behalf. And the end of the Old Testament says, "I will send the prophet Elijah to you." And in the New Testament, we see that fulfilled through the ministry of John the Baptist. It says, "He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. And if you do not respond correctly, God says, I will come and I will strike the land with total destruction." The nation of Israel, God's people, at the time of this message, were under the control of the Persia Empire. They had allowed them to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple, which was their place of worship. But God's people, even though they returned, they were still not honoring God, at least with their actions. In fact, they were accusing God of not loving them. They were asking God what was in it for them to serve him. And just plain and simple, God's people was treating others badly. So the prophet warns them that they need to change what they are doing and they need to follow God. And that last verse looks ahead to a time in which Elijah would prepare the way. And then, 400 years of silence. 400 years of nothing. That 400 years could be described with the word darkness. During the 400 years, Israel would see their overlords change. They would be taken over by Greece, and then the Egyptians, and then Syria, and then, of course, the Romans. Each time things changed hands, they would have to deal with a new government in place, and these governments would not always treat them fairly or with goodwill. They would mistreat them, and ultimately, Israel was suffering. And they were looking forward to the day in which the Messiah would come and would help them defeat their enemies. I think a good word to describe the state that Israel was in is darkness. I wonder how many of us during this Christmas season we're experiencing our own type of darkness. I wonder how many of us are just simply going through a tough time. Maybe there's one bad thing happening after another. You are sick, you are tired, your anxiety's up, you're depressed, whatever it may be. It's easy during this season to be going through a dark time. And, you know, sometimes we just get weary. I think Israel, God's people, was weary at the time of Jesus' birth. I think there are people who are weary today. Because we do live in a dark world, and that darkness can creep its way into our life. The second thing that I think describes Israel during this time is death. Because whoever was in control of them switched every few years, they were mistreated. In fact, the holiest place in the temple, where only the high priest could go, was desecrated, was disrespected. And this would have been devastating to the Jews. The Jewish people were simply suffering at the hands of their enemies. And I'm sure a lot of God's people died. I am sure that many of us during this Christmas season may be celebrating our first Christmas without a certain person there. Some of us in this room, in fact, all of us in this room, are experiencing this Christmas without two key members of our church who passed away in this past year. Katie was senselessly murdered this past year, and then Kathy Truelove won her battle with cancer. Those are two people that would probably be here this morning. We're celebrating this Christmas without them, but we know they're celebrating this Christmas with God. Some of you may be celebrating this Christmas, experiencing your first Christmas with the death of a loved one. Someone that would be sitting at that table is not at that table. That's tough. It's tough to go through that. But maybe even you realize this may be your last Christmas with someone. Maybe someone in your family's sick, and you could very well see the possibility that in the next year, they'll no longer be here. That this is your last Christmas with them. Or maybe you are just simply experiencing the death of a dream or a goal or a friendship or a relationship. Whatever it may be, you may be experiencing death this Christmas. Israel did as well. And then the last word described what Israel was going through was silence. God had basically went silent. He stopped sending prophets. He stopped speaking to the people of Israel. And that made it tough on God's people to continue to follow him. There were some who tried to remain faithful, but God's silence made it hard. One reason why God went silent is because of their sin, because of their blatant rebellion to God. And so some of us may be experiencing silence right now in our relationship with God, maybe because of sin in our own life. But you know, sometimes God will just go silent. And he just goes silent for a purpose. I think sometimes he goes silent to build our faith or to prepare us for what is to come. For God's people, the nation of Israel, I think that's kind of what was happening there. He had went silent, and then he was about to give his greatest revelation that he's ever given in Jesus Christ. And instead of allowing those years of silence to make them hungry for a word of God, instead many of them allowed their hearts to become hardened. And I wonder if there's people who are here today or who are listening online who have allowed their hearts to become hardened because of what they've gone through in this past year. And they're in this Christmas season in darkness, maybe experiencing death, and you feel like God is silent. Here's the thing, we deserve every bit of that, and so did Israel. Because of our sin, we deserve darkness and death, and we certainly don't deserve the gift of being in a relationship with God where we can converse with Him. But Christmas is the reminder that God is a God of grace. Grace, always defined as undeserved goodness. You can never earn it. It's just goodness. It's just God being good to you. And Christmas is a reminder that God has been good to us. He did not leave us to experience darkness and death and silence. Instead, God came. And what we've talked about during this series is the King has come. The King who could have chosen to stay up in His palace, could have chosen to stay up in heaven, chose to come and be born in a lowly manger. I loved Santa asking the kids on Friday night, what animals do you think were there? And they started naming them off. Our King came when He did not have to. He doesn't need us, but the King came. So I've got 3 points I want to go over with you today. First one is this. The King came down into this darkness in order to be with you in the darkness. The King came down into this darkness. This is not what He created. When He created the world, it was good. But because of our sin and because of our rebellion, we were cast out of the good that He created. We were cast out into a dark and dying, we call it the fallen world. And the King, who did not have to experience any that, chose to come down into this darkness. We read Isaiah 9:6 pretty often at Christmas time because it's the prophecy talking about Jesus. And it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." I want to rewind and go back to verse 2, because there's a key part there that we often skip over to get to this part where the child's been born. But verse 2 says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah, years before Jesus would come on the scene, is speaking about what is it going to be like when this child is born. And he says it's going to be like people walking in darkness. And those people walking in darkness are going to see this great light. In fact, I love the way this translation puts it. It says, they were living in the land of deep darkness. Things were not just bad. Things were very bad. But a light has dawned. The light of the world has come. This King who is God in the flesh, the child who would have the government on His shoulders, He has come to be the light in the middle of this darkness. This is confirmed in John 1:4-5, when John is talking about how the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. He says this in verses 4 and 5 and 9, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it." John 1:9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." John, in his beginning chapter of his gospel, when he's going back in time to look at creation, and then he's also talking about the arrival of Jesus, he says, the light has come. And this echoes the words of Isaiah that prophesied about the day in which Jesus would arrive, this day that we are celebrating today. The light has come to expel the darkness, to overcome the darkness. The light, I think, does a couple things. First is the light reveals to us the way of God. We've talked about how Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. Of God's love, of what God desires from us, and what God wants us to do in our life. The light has come to reveal to us the way in the darkness. He has come to show us how to live. He has come to show us what God really desires, and ultimately He has come to tell us that God loves us and that God desires a relationship with us. But that light has also come to overcome the forces of darkness in this world. He has come to be the good that overcomes evil. He's done that so that He can be with you in this dark world. See, we are still stuck in this dark world, at least temporarily. Darkness, no matter how hard you try, will continue to have an effect on your life. Could God have taken us right out of this world and out of the darkness? Absolutely. But here was Jesus' prayer in John 17:15. It says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." He says, I don't want you to just take them out of the world. Talking about His disciples, talking about His followers. He says, no, my prayer is that you will protect them from the evil one. The only reason why God can protect us is because God is with us. Isaiah 7:14 says, "The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call His name Emmanuel." Emmanuel literally means God with us. The reason why God is with us is because He came to be like us. And because He came to be like us, He came to be with us. During the series, we talked about how no matter what you're going through, God can identify with your weaknesses. God can identify with whatever you're going through because He was tempted in every way, yet did not sin. That's what the author of Hebrews tells us. He has struggled. He's lived as a homeless person. He was tried as a criminal. He can identify with us no matter where we are at, no matter what we are going through. And ultimately what the King has done is He wants to walk with you through the dark valleys you face. I went back to King David saying, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." God is with us. And we don't have to fear any evil because He is with us. And because He is with us, nothing truly bad can ever happen to you. You might still get sick. You might still experience some tough times in your life. But because He is with us, God will protect what really matters. And what really matters is that you're going to be with Him for eternity in heaven. So you may be going through something tough today. This Christmas may be a tough time for you. But God is with you. He knows what it's like to experience the darkness of this world, and He can help you out of it if you allow Him to. For me, I've shared this with a few people, and I'll share it with you. For some reason, Christmas is always a tough time for me. And I don't know if it's because of the hustle and bustle of basically October, November, and December, some of the busiest seasons in the church. I don't know what it is, but by the time I get to Christmas, and I've dealt with it this past week, I'm depressed, I'm tired, I just want to get it over with. And I was really struggling with this sermon because Christmas with my son, who happens to be crying right now. Not a silent night for us. Amen, there you go. It was a silent night for Daddy because he slept through everything. This is first Christmas with my son. Happy to have my son, don't get me wrong. But my focus has been on the son. My focus has been on Jesus. And that Jesus has come. And so, yes, I've been down this week, but God has given me this peace that I need because he is with me. All God asks you to do is to come to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The only reason why he can do that is because he's come. And he offers himself to you. James tells us in James 4:8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So I don't know what kind of darkness you're experiencing this Christmas, what you're going through, but I want to encourage you, come near to God. God will come near to you. Second point, the king sacrificed in order for you to be saved. Jesus' whole reason for coming was to save us from our sins. This was the announcement that the angel gave to Joseph. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In order to do that, he had to die a sinner's death. The king chose to suffer for you. Last week when we were going through the suffering that Jesus went through, you could hear a pin drop in this place. I call it a holy hush. The quiet that came over the room. And I told a few people afterward, no mistake, the king could have chose to came off of that cross. He could have called on his armies of angels. He could have gotten away from having to ever experience death, but he chose to sacrifice himself on the cross for you. But we have to respond in order to be saved. Jesus has done his part. The king has done his part. He sacrificed. And what he asked you to do is he asked you to surrender, to give your life to him. Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. He says, surrender your life to me. Give it to me. He, the king, he revealed to us the way to salvation. And we know Jesus declared he is the way. If you want to be saved, you follow Jesus. You take the route that the king has come to reveal to us. And ultimately, we talked about that the king has come to reign. He wants to reign in your hearts. And we had the throne sitting up here, and we talked about how often we want to sit on that place. We want to sit on that place in our heart. But that place is only fit for God. And we have to allow God to reign in our hearts. We have to give him that place. And if we do, we talked about how he sets us free from the power of sin. You don't have to continue to live in sin any longer. And ultimately from the penalty of sin. You don't have to experience death. Which leads me into this last point. The king has established his reign for your good. Jesus totally established his reign by coming down to be like us in this world. He beat the devil when he was tempted. He overcame death, and he reigns in heaven now. We are told in Scripture that he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And one day, everything will be placed underneath his feet. The next time his feet physically touch this ground again, he's come to reign for good. He's come to totally defeat his enemies. He's come to rule. And he does all of this for your good. The devil will try to make you believe that God just wants you to be a slave and just command you around, and that he just makes him happy. No, he has come for your good. He offers life to you. Of course, he offers eternal life. You know that, but ultimately, he offers what we would call life to the full. He says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He wants you to have a good life. He doesn't want you to experience darkness, death, and silence from not being in a relationship with God. He wants you to live the way that He has designed for us to live, which is good at its core. But there is so much bad in this world. And when we are not following God, when we're not welcoming the Savior into our life, when we're not making Him King, we are allowing that darkness to weigh us down. And during this Christmas season, you may be weary because something's not right with that relationship. It's time to get it right. Yeah, you may be experiencing darkness and death, but the truth is, none of us are truly experiencing silence. Because Christmas is the reminder that the King has come for you. And I know how the devil works. He's probably telling someone in this room right now, he hasn't come for you. He can't love you. You're not the type of person that he died for. But I want to tell you that he died for you. He came for all types of people. One of the first people to know that the King has come was the shepherds. Which during that time, they would have been poor. They would have been stinky. They would have been low-ranked in society. Yet God chose to reveal to them that the Savior has been born. Another group that we often look at during the Christmas story is the wise men. This would have been those people who are rich and very well respected. These are smart guys, smarter than any of us in this room. They could tell the King has come and they came to adore Him. Jesus came for the shepherds. He came for the wise men. He came for the fishermen, who had been ordinary people. He came for the tax collector that would have been the traitor, enemy of God's people. Ultimately, He came for sinners. People who have done wrong. And Scripture tells us that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Jesus, the King, He chose to come down to us, to live like us, to be with us, to reveal God's Word to us, to reign over us, to save us and to set us free. And to do all of that, the King chose to suffer for you. And all He asks in return is that you follow Him. So whatever you're going through this Christmas, darkness, death, God is not silent. He is calling you to come and to worship Him. The King invites you into His palace. He invites you to come and reign as princes and princesses in His kingdom. The King has come for your good. And I pray during this Christmas season that you will receive Him. If you will, please stand to your feet.